Good morning, everyone, and welcome to today's broadcast. Today, we're going to continue our discussion with the fruit of the Spirit and specifically focus on self-control. One of the things that you will find in this discussion is we're talking about self-control and how it affects and how it interacts and how it interfaces with our emotions and how Satan is trying his very best to unravel everything that Yah wanted to build and to put within us through the fruit of the Spirit. And so in this discussion, we'll see how we need to protect and guard ourselves with the fruit of self-control.
Father, right now, in the name of Yeshua, we thank you and glorify you. We magnify you. Father, your word says to rejoice in you at all times. And Father, even though we are in perilous times, the command to rejoice in you is what you are looking for from us. So, Father, we do rejoice in you. We take our mind and our thought processes off the unsurmountable, diabolical things of this world, and we submit to you right now. We thank you. We glorify you. We say and we admit that we have fallen short of what you have desired, and for that we ask forgiveness for sin, iniquity, and transgression. And we take this time to forgive ourselves and to forgive others. We thank you, Father, that your anointing comes and blesses us and forgives us and builds us up and strengthens us and allowing the thousand generation blessing that you have spoken by your word comes through and in us. Father, we thank you for that. We thank you for forgiving our forefathers on both sides of our family, down to the third and fourth generation. We glorify you and magnify you this day. We ask that your Ruach come in and begin to flow through us and just begin to guide us and strengthen us and dismantle all of the desires of the enemy this day. All of his fiery darts this day, Father God, we ask for your shield of faith to quench all of it. As we hear from you, as we understand how to maneuver in these perilous times, we thank you for that. In Yahushua's name, amen and amen. Pass it back to you, Pastor Andre.
Rukata Yahua Eloheinu Melech Haolam Asher Kishanu Bemitzvotav Itzanu Lasot B'Divrei Torah. Blessed are you, Yahua, our Yah, King of the Universe, who sanctified us with His commandments and commanded us to engross ourselves in the words of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yahua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo, quien nos santificó con sus mandamientos y nos ordenó absorbernos en las palabras de la Torah.
Hallelujah. We thank and praise you for that. And not sure if there's technical difficulty. But, oh, you got it? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, the microphone cut out. I apologize, everyone. I was going for it, too. But let me go ahead and recap real quick. And we thank you, Father, for that blessing, Lord. As I was saying when I was muted, we had covered some ground here last week with gentleness. And on the heels of that, before that, we talked about faith and faithfulness. And so as we're getting to get to the end of these fruit of the Spirit, we're realizing how important each element is for our sustaining joy in the Lord. One of the things we looked at last week with gentleness was that it is what the only element of the fruit that helps us, again, sustain the joyous life that the Father and Yeshua came to give us. When we look at and break down gentleness, we get a few definitions. Primarily in many translations, you'll get the word meek or meekness. And we also found humility. With humility, we skip the understanding of modest, lowly of heart. But with meekness, there's an understanding, because we can trace it through the Hebrew scriptures as well, Psalms especially. We see that it is the only element that when we walk in meekness, we receive the inheritance that God has for us. Meekness guarantees the longevity and continuity of what Yah has promised for us. One of the key scriptures we went to last week was Psalms 37. We started with verse 1 and 2 because it's the prerequisite, if you will, for what follows with meekness. But in Psalms 37, if you remember, verses 1 and 2, it talked about us not fretting ourselves, not being anxious, not being concerned or overly overly concerned is a good word, with evildoers and their appearance of success. Because the envious and the evildoers, the workers of iniquity, they will perish. They do not, in the end, receive the blessing of the inheritance, even though it may seem like for a moment they prosper. It says here in verse 2, they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. And so this is a reminder, and it sets us up understanding that we need to not look at them, but we need to rather have meekness. Jumping to verse 11 in Psalms 37. And again, this is a recap, but Psalms 37, verse 11, it says, but the meek, this is where one of our key words for gentleness was found, but the meek shall inherit the earth. And we talked about how this is something that Yeshua quoted when he was giving his dissertation on the Mount in Matthew chapter 5. But here it says, the meek shall inherit the earth. Meek shall inherit the earth, and shall, this is another good one, they shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. And that's a heavy, because peace in Hebraic understanding is not just the absence of war. It's where nothing is missing and nothing is broken. Everything is whole. And so it's saying that humility, meekness, gentleness, conditions the individual to receive the inheritance that Yah has promised with an abundance of peace. The Father guides the meek. We saw this also looking at Scripture in Psalm chapter 25, verse 9. If we try to do things our own way, the Lord does not give his blessing or his anointing for our way. We are automatically going astray, walking in wickedness. And so we have the reminder with this fruit of gentleness, meekness, or humility. We have this reminding that we have to align ourselves with Yah. We have to say, not my will, but your will, Father, so that we're not toiling and laboring in vain. I'm going to go real quick in the King James to Psalms 25, verse 9 here. This was another one of our key scriptures that pointed out this key word here for meek. The meek he will guide, and he is talking about the Father. He will guide in judgment. So he's saying, as we're humbling ourselves, as we're walking in gentle meekness or modesty of heart, the Lord directs with his judgments. Okay, we know that in the Hebrew to be the word mishpatim, his righteous judgments. So this is going back to Torah as well. He will guide us by his word when we're walking in meekness, humility. Again, I'm using all these words to kind of give you a bigger picture for gentleness. Okay? The meek, will he will teach his way. So we will be taught by the Lord as we submit ourselves to him. Again, this is like a not my will, but your will. And again, we talked about this, that this fruit, meekness, deals, is the only element of the fruit of the Spirit that deals with the will. It deals with the will of the soul aspect of who we are. And one thing we want to clarify again, this is a point of much confusion with when people talk about meekness, but being meek is not weak or lifeless. It's simply allowing the Father to have his way in us so that we are, one, being transformed into the image of who he has us to be created as, and ultimately that is in the image of Messiah. Christ, Yeshua. But it's not weak or lifeless. Meekness will manifest when we are doing what the Father desires. A good picture, again, we pointed back to Cain and Abel. We must have the heart of Abel, where he was humbly doing as the Father asked, not trying to present to the Father what he thought was best or what he wanted, but what Yah wants. That's what Abel did. He presented what Yah wants. We must submit our motives to the Lord. So, Rabbi, that's in a nutshell what we discussed with this gentleness or meekness. And I think it's a tremendous thing to be reminded of, that when we walk in meekness, we will not hinder Yah's blessing. So with that, I'll pass it to you, Rabbi.
Amen and amen. And I just want to clarify a spelling error that I misspoke on pertaining to meekness in the Hebrew. The very first letter I misspoke and said Aleph, and it was actually Ayin. Okay, is that particular letter was Ayin, then Nun, and of course Hey at the end. But wanted to make sure that that was clarified before we go forward. Now, excellent recap pertaining to meekness. And one of the takeaways that I want to make sure before we go into looking at self-control is that with being meek, that does not mean that you're weak. Okay, not giving a play on words here, but I want to make sure that everyone understands. Being meek and lowly or poor in spirit means that it's not your way. In other words, you're not bullheaded. You're not prideful and arrogant and narcissistic. I mean, and that's a word I continue to use because the Father has been telling me that in this time, in this season, you know, with everything that's happening in the world and the upheaval and the pandemic and all of that, individuals are going to be so self-minded. So me and mine, and forget you and yours, that the love of many, according to Scripture, are going to wax extremely cold. It's going to be a free-for-all, a riot, if you will, a spiritual riot in the actual well-being of individual characters. Because that's what we're talking about here. That's what the Father's speaking about. That's what Yeshua's pointing to. That's what Paul is amplifying. He's amplifying the fact that it's my and your characters at stake. The fruit of the Spirit and all of these elements that we have been talking about sheds a light, a mirror upon my character, your character, and not just your character from day to day, but your character explicitly under pressure. And it's the pressure of the toils of the world. It's the pressure of the aspect of tribulation, the end time, the diabolical shifting of the enemy, getting ready to move in and start the end time, their end time revolution. And we need to understand that being meek in no way means that you're not a warrior and that you don't fight. Being meek is a cloak that makes you invisible to their temptations, to the wooing of the enemy. And I want to make sure as we close that chapter that we take that away, understanding that it in no way means that you're a weak or a timid individual. By no means. So, Pastor Andre, we're going to go ahead and shift, and we're going to go to Galatians 5 again in verse 23, which is the main foundational scripture for this particular portion of the study. And in that, we're going to look at meekness and begin to, not meekness, but self-control. and begin to kind of set a foundational understanding of what self-control is, how it interrelates with us, and how important it is, especially in this time in the season. Because this one, what you're going to find, is deals primarily within the soulish realm, whereas meekness dealt primarily with the will. All right, self-control is going to deal primarily with the emotions. It's going to bring to light exactly the flaws and strength in each and every one of our emotions and how that plays in these perilous times. Because remember, the adversary understands. He's had many thousands of years to understand our makeup and what makes us actually tick, so to speak, what makes us operate and do the things that we do. So what the Father has designed in the fruit of the Spirit is what the enemy diabolically is trying to unravel within you and me. So we need to understand how to not just comply with the Father and with his words, but how to just so mold ourselves in the likeness of him and his son who walked the earth. Because scripture in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26-27 is very clear. And it says that we were made in the image, but we're also supposed to be in his likeness. And it's the likeness part that connects with that self-control, that connects with the fruit of the Spirit, that connects with the character of the way you and I are supposed to be moving and flowing and submitting ourselves to. So, Galatians 5, verse 23. And I want us to really focus on and begin to dive into an understanding, a foundational understanding of self-control. And we can do that in the King James and in the Amplified.
Absolutely.
That's okay.
All right. So, focusing specifically on verse 23, it says here, actually, is it okay, Rabbi, if I go back to verse 22 to give a context?
Yes, please.
Okay. So I'm going to read from King James first, and this is giving the list of the fruit of the Spirit here. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance is what they have here, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now, and what Rabbi, as we mentioned before, when it says no law here, we're saying there's nothing against these in Torah. These are all compliant. These are all in line with Torah here. There's no law that what you could find that would go against these things here. Now, in Amplified, I'm going to go ahead and focus on 23 here. It says gentleness, in parentheses, meekness, humility, and it says self-control, self-restraint, continence. Against such things, there is no law, and it has in here brackets. It says that can bring a charge. There's no charge, or you cannot bring a charge against these things. That's how it says it here.
Yeah, amen. And when it says no law there, that's a very good translation, because when it says no law here, it's not saying that you're exempt from Torah. What it's saying is you're exempt from the penalty of Torah, okay? I want to make sure that that's understood, okay? Because remember, and most of you know this, Torah is comprised of the blessing and the curses and the penalty that would be given to an individual pertaining to the curses. The curses are the penalties, okay? So when it says no law here, it says no penalties of the law. If I'm driving within the construct of what the law says is the right speed for my vehicle on that particular road, then there, I can use that term, and that's a Hebrew idiom term, okay? I can use that term, there's no law. In other words, there's no penalty that I would receive for driving 50 in a 55 speed limit zone. Okay, if I drive higher than that, obviously, then there is a law, there is a penalty for that. Okay, so I want to make sure that that's very, very clear, because we also understand that in these perilous times, the law, which is circumcises the Torah, because without the Torah, there is no law. Without the Torah, there is no love. And the Father's already said, hey, in these perilous times, people are going to give up restraint for the law, for the understanding of the covenant that I have with you. And that's one of the main things within the fruit of the Spirit that we've got to protect. And self-control plays a major part of that. Self-control is what begins to enable us to have the boundaries that we need, the protective boundaries. And we are going to need a tremendous amount of protective boundaries in this season, in this time. Our emotions are already being bombarded with and inundated with so many violations to the Torah, so many violations to our human rights. And we've got to have that self-control, that mindset. And I know I keep using some of the biblical characters over and over and over again, but it's because they shine so brightly, it's hard to miss them as an example. Daniel went through tremendous perilous times. Tremendous. But his self-control was stellar. It always shined, regardless of who was the dictator within the season and within the time period that he had found himself in. His self-control was manifested in the way that he purposed in his heart to not violate God's Torah. And we've got to understand that that Torah is the keeping power. Within the Torah is the keeping power and the sustaining power that each and every one of us needs in order to fulfill the perfect will of God in our lives. Because it's about the will of the Father. It's about His particular will. We're going to go to Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 and begin to go back over this and begin to understand that there is no self-control if we cannot control our body as well as our mind, our mental faculty. If we cannot control those areas, if those aren't in check, then we have no self-control. Because this is a part of the self in which the enemy, the adversary, goes after. He goes after our mind and our body by way of the emotion. He plays with your emotions, with the appetites, with the things that you desire and the things that you like. Okay? Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. And we'll also do that in the Amplified. Go ahead, sir.
Amen. Chapter 12, verse 1, Romans. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is good, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Now for Amplified. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, and beg of you, in view of all the mercies of God, to make a decisive dedication of your bodies, presenting all your members and faculties as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is your reasonable, rational, intelligent service and spiritual worship. Verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, this age, fashioned after and adapted to its external, superficial customs, but be transformed, changed by the entire renewal of your mind, by its new ideals and its new attitude, so that you may prove for yourselves what is the good and acceptable and perfect will of God, even the thing which is good and acceptable and perfect in His sight for you.
And I love the way it says it in the B part there, as far as the Amplified. What is approved in His sight. Self-control, a part of that, is making sure that I understand that the definition of the approval and the authority of the approval, who sets that definition and who says what is approved and who says it's disapproved, is God alone. And that's important for me to understand. I have not been set up to change what God's biblical definition of approval is. I can't change that. I can't put my two cents in it because it's Him alone. I can either, according to Romans chapter 12 here, I can either comply or disannul my opportunity to be in right standing with Him. Those are the only two options I have. And in perilous times, the self-control aspect is something that we've got to understand. How do I lose self-control? Okay, first and foremost. Because in perilous times, it's going to challenge my emotions. And my emotions, if it's not in check, will violate God's approval every single time. Every single time. I will break under the pressure. I'm going to say that again because this is what causes us. Pastor Andre, this right here is what causes us to lose self-control. When I emotionally, okay, when I emotionally break under pressure, the pressure is the pressure of the enemy. When I break under pressure, I lose the ability to control myself. Now, I'm going to go in a different path than what you may have heard pertaining to self-control. Because oftentimes individuals are told, and I know I've heard it, you know, in my adult life, in my childish life as well, for an individual to control themselves, you know, and we may even say it to a children at times. But what we've got to understand that reaching the pinnacle of self-control is a trained event. It's not something that we automatically know how to do. It's a discipline. And that discipline will never be achieved if we don't submit to God first. We need to understand that we are no match for the enemy. Once we understand that, then we will automatically reach out for help. Will automatically reach out for that assistance, for that covering, for that protection in that particular area. Our self-control comes from God. It doesn't come from self, even though that term self-control is used in the English, temperance, because self-control is a word that has been used so much. We've got to address that. Self-control comes from within self. Self-control comes from within yourself.
Wow.
The strength that you have is that which was given to you by God, not the strength that you possess in your own faculties, in your own understanding. One of the diabolical terms that I have to watch out for, that's a cliche that is, you know, it's become viral, is the term, I got this. The moment you say you got this, you have aborted God's ability to control yourself. The moment that you say, I've got this, you have divorced yourself from God. You've divorced yourself from His leading, from His ability to cover you and to walk you through every aspect of what is necessary that day in order for you to not be broken, not to be succumbed to the wiles and to the diabolical enticement of the enemy. We're going to go to James chapter 1 and read verse 14. But I want to make sure you understand that you are drawn away. God's word is never drawn away into enticement. Did you know that, Pastor?
That's good. That's deep, too.
God's word never, never is enticed. Never loses self-control. Within God's word, self-control is there. But Satan is saying, look at you. Look at yourself. Look at your abilities. Look at what you can do. And what he does do is he gets you separate from what God has done through you. The fruit of the Spirit is God manifesting through us. Not just the gift of the Spirit, but the fruit of the Spirit also is God empowering and manifesting through you and I. So just the term self-control is a diabolical term because it sets you up for failure because it feeds any type of narcissistic mindset and attitude because it focuses on self as opposed to on God control. It's more appropriate to say God control. Yah in control of me. Yah doing things through me. Me yielding the control. I have to learn to let him drive. Okay? To allow him to drive. Now, I'm going to tell on myself here, and my wife is listening to this broadcast. So we're going to have an interesting breakfast discussion after this, Pastor Andre. And one of the things that I began to realize when I had gotten ill, when I got sick, is that my wife had to drive me. And I realized that I have a certain way of doing things in the way that I drive that is different than her. Okay? And as we're driving, and I've gotten so much better, thank you, Lord, but as she's driving, I'm pointing out these things that I normally would do that she does differently than me. And it's not wrong. It's just that the way that she drives. Okay? And so, you know, I'm looking at this, and the Father, especially with the whole self-control thing, I'm looking at this, and I'm realizing how often do I let the Father drive, but I tell him how to drive. Come on now. How often does that happen? Now, if you're not careful, that gets into murmuring and complaining. That gets into the children of Israel allowing the Father to send them through the wilderness and everything else, but murmuring and complaining along the way. Now I want to take a moment and I want you to evaluate self and ask yourself, your mind, your will, your emotion, and especially your emotion, because that's what this one is talking about. externally, you may be very quiet. But internally, there is a catastrophic earthquake happening within you, pertaining to the way that the Father is driving, pertaining to the way that He maneuvers in your life. If that is happening externally, you may look like to others that you have this stellar self-control. But remember, self-control is emotion. It's seated in the appetites and the enticement of the emotions. So regardless of what externally may be projecting now, internally, you've already failed. Internally, you already have issues that have been compromised. They just have not been exposed. I'm going to say that again. You have issues that have been compromised. They just have not been exposed. So don't judge on the outward appearance of the way you use your verbal and nonverbal communication pertaining to things that happen around you. Judge by your internal emotions and whether or not your emotions have been seared and trained and disciplined. Because if they have not been seared and disciplined, then self-control will jeopardize your faith. Okay? We are going to go to James chapter 1 and verse 14, but I want to say this. The centurion that had all of that faith more than anyone else in Israel, that Yeshua, that Jesus pointed out. He says, I haven't seen so much faith like this man. But the man gave the key. The key was his temperance. The key was his discipline. The key was the fact that his emotions had been seared, trained, disciplined, and put in its place pertaining to how to deal with authority. Self-control is what is not only going to feed your faith, but what is going to give you mountain-moving faith in the times ahead, which we will desperately need. So we need to understand the importance of the self-control element. James chapter 1, verse 14, both in the King James and in the Amplified. Pastor Andre?
Yes. I'm sitting here thinking about it. Here we go. James chapter 1, verse 14. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. And then for the Amplified, here we have James again 1:14. And it says this: but every person is tempted when he is drawn away, enticed, and baited by his own evil desire, lusts, and passions.
Self-control, the lack of it, happens with the bait and switch. The bait and switch, okay, of the enemy. The bait and switch of the enemy. I recently had some things done to my truck, and all of you know that you don't ever really want to take the truck to or your vehicle to the dealer to get it worked up on because of just how the dealerships do you. But we've had an interesting situation with this particular dealership because they have been stellar in the way that they deal with us and with our vehicles. And one person in particular, and so I literally go to that person in the service department all the time. I mean, that's who I deal with. And in dealing with this particular gentleman, we had a situation where there was something wrong with the vehicle, and it needed to be fixed. And so we were kind of not going back and forth, but really trying to figure out what was the best way to do it. And so, of course, I went and got my own parts, which drastically lowered the cost of what it would be for the type of work that was being done to the vehicle. And in doing that, one of the things that became very apparent was that as we begin to discuss, me and the service person began to discuss the differences in the price of the parts, he began to realize, you know, the markup that they had and how much it was saved between that. And as we begin to converse back and forth, one of the things that became very apparent to him, okay, was that the emotional aspect of the transaction began to be placed aside so that he didn't feel as though I was accusing him of marking up the price, although the price had been marked up over $1,500. So in the way that we began to decipher, you know, what I would provide and what service they would provide, over $1,500 on that particular serious situation with that vehicle was saved. Okay. But he never, what I noticed about him pertaining to his self-control, he never took personally the fact that I did more of my due diligence to expose the individual that I had the first transaction with. And I began to notice this gentleman has an impeccable amount of self-control, discipline. And the Lord began to speak to me about the young man and let me know this young man right here, different from the rest of the ones in the service area, this young man will be promoted. He's going to go very far, whether he stays in this company or whether he goes somewhere else. He's going to go very far because of his self-control. He wasn't enticed to go into an argument with me. He wasn't enticed to feel like, okay, well, what are you saying, you know, about the price of what we're charging you? You know, are you accusing me? He never took it personal. He totally got it. And when he saw how much was saved from the quote that they gave me, okay, he commended the due diligence. We have to be diligent in making sure that we are submitting ourselves to the approval of God pertaining to every situation. There are enticements every single day, Pastor Andre. Every day, when that sun comes up, there are enticements that are following to get you off your game, off of walking in compliance with Yah and His Word. That's why Satan goes after you. That's why Satan tries this day to get you to get into any type of an emotional state in order for you to get off your game. In order for you to just break and just say, oh, well, okay, go ahead, you know? And the analogy that I just gave pertaining to the working of my vehicle, I was adamant. I mean, he probably heard it. Yeah, I'm exaggerating. He probably heard it 1,000 times, but I said, I have budgeted for this, and that's as far as we're going, you know? And every time he'd bring up, well, what about this? We could get this part. No, 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 no. I will go to, you know, whatever the establishment was. You know, I'll go to Advance Auto. I'll go to AutoZone. I'll go wherever I need to go to get this because I'm going to do my due diligence. You tell me how much your price is for that. I'll tell you what they are charging me, and I'll get the part to you. I mean, I shuttled, you know, I was the gopher, and I went. And went many times in order to save that amount of money. Now their work, their actual work is impeccable. It's fantastic. Okay, but still, in order to keep his credibility, he had me meet the mechanic, because I was challenging in a very respectful way. I was challenging every aspect of the process, and he realized that. And so he says, you know, I need to bring credibility by having the mechanic that's working on your vehicle to come and tell you and show you. Okay, I asked for pictures. I did the whole gambit. He never got out of sorts with me. He never thought that I was accusing him. He understood immediately that there's a credibility issue. And so I need to present for him the facts that he needs so that he's comfortable with what we're doing and the process of how we do it. The Father is ready to present to you, to me, the facts. He's not at all like this young man. He's not at all offended if you ask him to give you credible understandings of what you're expected of God. Because in these perilous times, God is expecting tremendous amount of self-control from us.
Mm-hmm.
Emotionally, we cannot afford to lose it. We have a pandemic. We've got a situation with a virus that most people understand will be so much worse than the disease itself. We have to use self-control and find out what the Father has for us and how we are to deal with what is about to come, this coming physical Gregorian year. He's letting me know the upheaval is going to be something like we have never seen before in our generation. Self-control is going to be the key between our successes on this earth in Him and our failures. We have to get to a place emotionally where our appetites are seared. And one of the main ways for that to happen is a rudimentary fasting. You need to get a chart. The Father's been dealing with me with this. You need to get a chart, and you need to make sure that you're at least fasting twice in a week. Now, that's like my vehicle, getting the critical maintenance that was needed on the vehicle. This temple vehicle needs that critical maintenance. I need to get to a place to where if the Father spoke to me and said, I don't want you to eat this meal today because I've got a spiritual meal for you today, that I don't get out of sorts and I don't act like the children of Israel and just go all up and, you know, throw a hissy, you know. I have to get to a place where I say I'm able to comply with Him and my emotions are seared to where I'm able to say, yes, Lord, we'll do this, okay? Because remember Yeshua in Samaria, when they asked Him, you know, about the food that He ate, He says, I have food that you know not of.
Mm-hmm.
In other words, the spiritual food of the Word of God was His bread, was His substance. When I know that my emotions are in check, is when I can do that when asked by Him to do it. So that I can be submitted to what the Father is wanting to have done on the earth. There are going to be tremendous amounts of supernatural assignment. And the gifts of the Spirit are going to be huge. I mean, they're going to be so much more large, you know, ginormous, if you will, than what we have been accustomed to. Because when the pressures of the world begin to press upon the children of God, that's when God shines the greatest. But without the self-control, it won't happen for you and me. Without the self-control, you will break when the pressure reaches a certain level. And you won't see and be a part of and experience and enjoy the overcoming glory of the manifestation of what God's doing in this season. I'm not saying not to look at and not to prepare yourself for the things that are about to happen. I'm saying that in the process of doing that, you pay attention and do your due diligence within your being. Just like I had to do the due diligence about the vehicle and about the parts and about how much to charge and you know, and what the going rate was and things of that nature. Okay? You have to do the very same thing within yourself as things begin to come upon this world. We're in an unprecedented time. And decisions that we would have never thought we would ever be faced with. Not only are we being faced with it, but it's affecting every aspect of our ecosystem. And it's causing us to have to really dig deep within ourselves to understand what will be my response if. That if is happening. It's not an if anymore. Pastor Andre, it's not an if.
No.
Whether or not the workplace is going to require this vaccine for you to even work there. It's not an if you're going to be able to pay your bill or even work in your establishment anymore. It's not an if. It's the diabolical aspect of what was spoken in Revelations pertaining to the fact that they would not be able to buy or sell. It's not an if. It's becoming a when. And it's blowing upon each and every one of us. Your thoughts pertaining to that, Pastor Andre?
This is exactly right. You know, we've been talking about, you know, in the history of the show, you know, from the beginning of this show's time, that the whole purpose of this is to, one, to understand the signs of the times, but know how we must respond. And for a long time, honestly, there was kind of a big if factor, but now you're saying that this is a when. When these things must take place. And what I appreciate about what you shared today, Rabbi, was the reminder for us not to be trying to do things in our own strength. And it just jumped out to me when you said that there's a problem with how we understand self-control and how that comes from ourselves, but rather we need to be truly yielding to Yah so that He can change our character, change our mindset, change our way of dealing with things. And pertaining to what you just mentioned about the things that we're seeing, and even articles you and I have read recently, pertaining to how they're saying the law has the right for companies to mandate that we take certain things. All of this is going back to, now, okay, it's not about if these things can or will happen, but now when. And that alone, some of those things alone, really makes us to say, okay, Lord, how have I been preparing myself? Am I ready? And the truth is, you know, it's not about now we have to get ready. We have to be ready. You know, it's not time about getting ready. It's about being ready. And so we have to really look at where am I weak? Father, help me to be strong in that area because we're running out of time. So the whole discussion today about we can look at different words, temperance, self-restraint, but really Yah control, yielding our control to Yah so that He can keep us at peace. And it reminds me of that verse, and I'll stop with this. He will keep you in perfect peace whose mind are stayed on Him. And we can add to that not just mind, but will and emotions. Our souls are focused and fixated on Him. And that's really a recipe for success when everything around us is falling apart.
Amen. Amen. I pray that we are taking copious notes of this particular broadcast, because self-control is God's control.
Mm-hmm.
Self-control is yielding the control. That's how you get to the place of self-control, is you have to yield to God's will, His plan, His purpose, His word, His way. I had to yield as my wife was driving her way. I had to yield to her way of getting us there. I had to yield to her route that she would use to get from point A to point Z. And the Father began to speak to me and began to teach me through that to let me know you don't have self-control in this area. If I'm having a problem fasting, when He calls me to fast, not when I want to fast, I don't have self-control. Remember, the body and the mind, okay, have to comply, and the emotions are all seated. It's the emotions that's seated in that. And I'm enticed by the enemy to lose sight of self-control. So check your emotions. Make sure that you're not getting into a panic, because that is going to cause you to lose out in this season. We are in I've said this before, but we're in an unprecedented season where if you had not prepared yourself prior to, you will not make it through this time and this season. You will not. I've heard of many men of God that are passing during this time period. And the Father is letting me know that it's not going to get any better from a perspective of the enemy. They are running roughshod after the children of Israel, after the believers right now, because they feel like they've got them down. And so they are trying to defeat, not just defeat. It's one thing when one enemy defeats another. They're trying to annihilate you. They're trying to annihilate you. Trying to make it so you never exist on the planet. And that's a totally different level. And so you and I have to get our emotions in check by just saturating ourselves with God's purpose, plan, and way of doing whatever it is. And do our due diligence. Don't accept things as they are without respectfully challenging the outcome. Daniel challenged in the very beginning of the books of Daniel. He challenged the outcome, but he did it with respect. He never tried to buck against the authority themselves and the authority that the authority had. But he challenged the outcome. He challenged the methodology. You have the right, I have the right to challenge the methodology. But respect the authority as we're doing it. Self-control.
Mm-hmm.
Pastor Andre, your last words, and then we will go ahead and close out this particular broadcast.
Sure. One of the last things you had pointed out that really stood out to me is that we can't afford to lose it. And you said it so well, Bill, but if we haven't put into practice through what I would call this dry run of this year, then we probably won't have the stamina to make it with things that are coming up. So I encourage everyone to really take to heart the things that have been discussed in this broadcast in particular. And we need to be putting to work, as Rabbi said, the rudimentary fasting is something else that stood out, because that's a practical. It's like people sometimes ask, well, what can I do? What should I do? Well, that's something that we can put into place now to train ourselves to have self-discipline and to train our emotions. And Rabbi, actually, the one thing that really did come to my mind, but I believe it was a spirit, it reminded me of what Yeshua said when he said, this world has nothing. None of this world is in me. In other words, there's no enticement. There was no way in which the enemy could bait and switch him anymore or ever, because he proved himself even in the wilderness. But we have to get to the place where the bait, the fishing line, if you will, from the enemy has no way to grab a hold of us. And one way to practically begin to practice that is by the fasting, as Rabbi said. So thank you, Rabbi. I will make a suggestion I haven't done before, but if you know anyone that would benefit from listening to this broadcast, especially this episode, please share about this this broadcast, so that we can, I guess, get some more ears to help prepare people for what's coming. So if there's anyone that comes to my mind, or to your mind rather, please do share this broadcast with them. And I wanted to thank you all for joining us and continuing to listen. I know that many of you listen not just to hear us talk, but to really apply these things to yourselves, and I thank you for that. We're glad that you've taken time to study God's Word, and we encourage you to, again, go back and study these things. Go over them. Go back over the scriptures. Go over the notes that we have laid out, the outline, if you will, and see if these things are true. Because if they are true, it means that we don't have much time to get ourselves under Yah's control, if we haven't already. As a reminder, this broadcast is an outreach of Congregation Beth Hashem of Durham, North Carolina. And if you do have any questions on the things that we discussed today, or about who we are, or if you'd like to receive our weekly newsletter, or simply desire to leave an encouraging word for us, we encourage you to do that. You can email us at office@bethhashem.org. That's O-F-F-I-C-E, office@bethhashem.org. Again, you can visit our website at www.bethhashem.org. You can also find us on our Facebook page. We've made that available for ease of use. And that's facebook.com/Beth Hashem Ministries, all one word, lowercase. If you'd like a deeper understanding of your Hebraic roots of your faith, or simply desire to be trained in how to better walk out this walk with the Lord, we have a college, Zakkai University of Learning, which offers courses in Messianic apologetics and biblical Jewish studies. And you can visit that and see our course catalog at courses.bethhashem.org. If you'd like to donate to this ministry, make a contribution, you can do so via the Cash App. It's a mobile app that's available for both Android and iOS devices. Or you can visit on your cell phone to http://www.cashapp.com. And then our particular page is $BETHHASHEM. That's $BETHHASHEM. Or you can mail a donation to our office at 2211 Shaw Road, Durham, North Carolina, 27704. And thank you for those of you who could have contributed and donated to this ministry. We say thank you, and God bless you. At this time, we're going to go ahead and close with our after Torah study blessing. I'll pass it to Pastor Doug to close us out with this blessing. Amen.
Baruch Ata Yehua Eloheinu Melech Haolam, Asher Natan Lanu Toret Emet, Vachaye Olam Nata Bikokenu. Baruch Ata Yehua Noten HaTorah. Blessed are you, Yehua, our Yah, King of the Universe, who gave us the Torah of Truth and set everlasting life in our midst. Blessed are you, Yehua, Giver of the Torah. Eres bendecido, Yehua, nuestro Dios, Rey del Universo. No has dado la Torah de la Verdad. Y poner vida eterna en medio de nosotros, se bendiga Yahuwah, dador de la Torah.
Amen. Blessed are you, Yahuwah, giver of the Torah. Thank you, Lord. At this time, we'll recite the Aaronic benediction And for those of you who are at home, if your family is just getting up or they're already up, and you just want to receive it for yourself and your loved ones, this, as I'm saying it at the end, just give a hearty amen and allow it to be so for yourself and your family. And again, this blessing comes from Numbers chapter 6 and was given so that Yah could place his blessing upon us. Amen. Yivarechecha Yehuah ve'yishmerecha Yair Yehuah panavelecha v'chunecha Yisayahua panavalecha ve'yasem lecha shalom. May Yehuah bless you and keep you. May Yehuah cause his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May Yahuwah lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In the name of our Messiah, Yahushua, the Prince of Peace. Amen. Rabbi, back to you.
Father, right now, in the name of Yahushua, we thank you. We thank you for preparing our day. We thank you for orchestrating all the events, the unforeseen events that the enemy has planned for us. The snares, the traps, the ambushes, areas where he's trying to entice us, where he's trying to get our emotions out of the fulfillment of your will for us today. Father, we say no. We say no to all the enticements. We say yes to your will today. We say yes to your purpose today. For today, this day, we submit to your purposes. We allow our mind, our will, and our emotions to come in line, to come in line. We speak to ourself, and we say, you will come in line. You will fulfill the will of the Lord for your life today. We call it. We receive it, and we mandate your purpose, Father. We exalt you in our mind, will, and emotions. And we thank you for the anointing that breaks every yoke that would try to diabolically sabotage our purpose. We thank you for that. And until next broadcast, Shalom, Shalom.